And I want to take for a theme of our thinking that last verse we just read there, verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bless you for this conference when we can come together and think about these important things in life. Lord, every one of us has a history that we are not proud of. We have done things that we are ashamed of. We have broken parts of our lives. But we thank you that you can make things better for us. And we pray, Father, that this afternoon you would teach us how we can have a new start. Open your word to us, we pray. Give us understanding. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I wonder how many of you have regrets in life. Who here has things in life that they are sorry that they did, that they feel bad about, that you think are broken in your life? Anyone? Yeah. I think every one of us does, right? Every one of us. Because all of us have broken parts of our life. And today we want to think about how we can change, how we can get our lives to be transformed through the power of God into something new. Now this verse I read to you, verse 24, I think tells us exactly what we all want. The description of this son in the parable was this. For this my son was dead and is now alive. He was lost and he is now found. You see, a big change. And that's what I want. And I'm sure that's what we all want. Now this here, I think most of you know this story. It's a parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a story that didn't actually happen. But it's a story that came from the divine lips of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it is therefore very important. And when Jesus told these stories, he told them to try and teach us something. They were often very familiar stories that we can easily understand in the physical way, but they're teaching us important spiritual lessons. Okay? So, when we come to read and think about this parable, we are supposed to be looking at our own hearts as well. So when we read of this younger brother here, the one who ran away, we need to think about, actually, might that be a picture of me? And when we think about the father in the parable, we are to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of this chapter talks about how Jesus was described as this man receives sinners and eats with them. And that is a description of Jesus, and you can see how that's what happened in this parable. Okay, so let's get into it, shall we? Now, I think the first thing we can notice in this story is the terrible past that this son had. This man in the story had a terrible history. I think worse than most of us. It all started when he rejected his father. He went to his father one day and said, Father, please give me all of that money that I will inherit when you die. Please give me, even though you're still alive, everything that will one day become mine. Essentially, what was he saying to his father? He was saying, I wish you died. I wish you were dead so I can have that money. I don't care about you. I only care about what you can give me. What a terrible thing to say to his father. And I'm no doubt this man would have had a terrible relationship with his father. He wouldn't have been able, I think, to even speak to his father after this terrible thing had happened. Now I wonder how many of us have broken relationships like that in our lives. Perhaps for some of us it is parents. Parents who we no longer speak to. Parents who have run away from us and don't care for us maybe. For others, perhaps it's friends. People who you used to be very close to, but then you had an argument and went away and you fell out and you haven't seen them again. Broken relationships are something that make us very sad in life, and many of us want to put behind us, I think. But there is one relationship as well that every one of us has broken, even from when we were first born into this world. And that is our relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father. God put us here on earth for a purpose. He put us here so we can live in the way that He designed us to live. He is the one who made every one of us, who formed us even when we were in our mother's wombs. And He put us here with a purpose, to worship Him and to see that He is glorified in this world that He has made. Now, how many of us have done that perfectly? Not one of us. We have all offended our Father and tried to push God out of our lives, if we're completely honest. We may be interested in going to church, but are we really interested in knowing God? Perhaps we have said to God what this man essentially said to his Father: God, I don't want you. I don't care about you. I wish you were dead. All I want is the things that you give to me. I will take this world. I will take the happiness. I will take the blessings. I will take the promises. But I have no interest in having a relationship with you. I have no interest in what you want for my life and what I should do to please you. This man had deeply disrespected his parents, and he had a broken relationship, and we also have broken relationships in this world and with God. The next thing is, this man had been very dishonest, hadn't he? He'd extorted the money from his father. He'd forced his father's hand by saying, I'm going to go away into a far country, now give me this money now, in case I never come back and never receive it. How many of us have been dishonest in life? I think each one of us have things in life that we have been dishonest about. And if we look back over the history and what we have done since we were born, we can see I was dishonest here. I did something very bad here which caused problems. Perhaps you earned money in a bad way. Perhaps you have stolen. Perhaps you also have fooled people into giving you money and things like this when you don't deserve it. This man was dishonest, and friends, so have we been dishonest. I think this is another big regret, a big part of guilt that many of us will want to put behind us and start life afresh. This man was also very greedy, wasn't he? He wasn't satisfied with what he had. He wanted to get more, which is why he went to his father in the first place. Many of us in this life have caused many problems because we are greedy. Perhaps we prioritise things in this world. Perhaps we prioritise the things that God would not have us do because we think that those things are going to satisfy us. But think about it really. Who are the richest people in the world? Who are those who have gained the most of anyone? Are they happy people? Are they satisfied? I don't think so. You hear of these stories of famous men like Bill Gates divorcing their wives, having disagreements, breaks with this and that. Friends, these things do not disappear just because you gain money, just because you are profitable in the things of this world. Even those who have done very well in the material things of this world still have regrets, still have broken parts of their lives, and still need to put the old life behind and embrace a new one. And the final thing we can say about this man is the Bible says he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. This man wasted his life. He spent all that he had on things that don't matter. Perhaps he thought he could drown the sorrows and the disappointments he had by drinking a lot of alcohol. Maybe he turned to drugs. Perhaps he thought he would find fulfillment in satisfaction, in sex, and in the desires of his flesh. But he went and did all of these things, and he wasted his life. My friends, God has put us on this earth for a reason. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a purpose for my life. He has given every one of us a living, precious soul. He loves each person. And friends, when you consider that, you should not be wasting your life. Please, don't go around spending your possessions, your time, your money, your everything, wasting it away in things which will one day just disappear. God has a plan. God has called us to consider the things of eternity. He's called us to think about those spiritual things. Do you spend your time doing those? Do you give them fair consideration in life? Or are you wasting your life? You have one life here on earth. Know that your life does matter. Even if sometimes it feels like nobody in this earth cares for you, nobody would miss you, know that God put you on this earth and gave you a precious soul for a reason. Will you hear God's reasons? Will you live your life in a way that honours him? Will you put away that old life and embrace a new one in our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what was at the core of all these problems that this man had? I think it was this, friends. This man followed his own heart. He followed the desires of his flesh, as the Bible says. He was just looking for the things that he in himself wanted. And he didn't spare any time to think what God wanted. But do you know this? God created the heavens and the earth. God created you and I. God designed the way this world works. And he knows best how we should live in it. Do we realise that? Do we understand that actually the way of happiness, the way of joy and success in this life does not lie in the desires of our hearts? Our hearts are by nature evil. They are desperately wicked, says the Bible. They will lead us astray. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. What did the designer say we should do with our lives? Well, the next thing I want us to notice is this way of living was very dangerous for this man. This younger brother, he didn't end up in a good place because he was pursuing these things we have thought about. Everyone, I think, in this life is looking for happiness. A lot of what we do is because we think it will bring us happiness. That's exactly what this man did. But did he find happiness? No. He found quite the opposite, didn't he? He had perhaps the main thing that many of us think will make us happy. Money. But what happened to his money? Soon it was gone. When his money had gone, his friends showed that they were fake friends and they left him behind. This man had gone to a faraway foreign land. Many of us think that will help us. That will give me a good life if I run to a foreign land. But what did this man find when he got there? He found he had run away from the only people who really loved him in life. He'd run away from the source of happiness, the source of joy that he had previously had. He'd run from his family, and he'd lost all comforts in life. In fact, we read here that nobody gave him anything in that place. Nobody cared for him, and he was soon in need, we read. He was in need or in want, we read at the end of verse 14. We perhaps think that when we run after the things of this world, that when we try to go after the things that satisfy our heart, that it will fulfill our cravings. It will give us happiness. This man thought that same thing, but he was wrong. Rather than finding what he thought would be happiness, he found want. He found need. He found he was lacking things, and he needed something more. He found himself eating pig food. What a desperate place to have been when this man had such a delightful and good start in life with such a loving father and family. And you know, ultimately, if that man had stayed in that famine, if he stayed in that pig field, he would have died, I think. He would have ended up in an ultimate destruction. And that is exactly what happens to every one of us, friends, who does not turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, every one of us has an appointment with death. And God has given us a never-dying soul within us. When my body is lying in the grave, rotting and being eaten by worms, I won't know anything about it. My consciousness will have left this body. It will go and stand before the Lord in heaven. And the Bible tells us that every one of us will one day stand before the judgment seat of God. We shall stand there in the edge of eternity, as it were, before God, the one who made us and judges us. And we will give an account of all we have done. What will we tell God, friends? Will we tell God we have wasted our lives? We've gone after our own desires, our own way of living? Or will we tell him that actually we listened to the pleadings of his word? We heard the offer of salvation when it was given to us, and we responded to that offer. Do not end up in this state of destruction that this man would have ended up in. But thankfully, we see that wasn't the end of the story. Look at what happened at the beginning of verse 17. We read this. But when he came to himself, he said. This man suddenly came to his senses. He woke up. It was like his eyes were previously blind and he didn't understand the source of his problems and where he was in life. But suddenly his understanding was opened. He woke up and he realized the condition he was in, the cause of his condition, and what must be done to fix it. I wonder, do any of you need to wake up today? Have you been just wandering through this life in your sadness, in your problems, in your depression, whatever it might be, thinking that you will find a solution? But now when we hear what God's word says, perhaps we need to wake up, realize that actually we are the cause of our problems. It is our sin and our uncleanness before God that has led us to this place, and something must change. So when this man came to his senses, what did he realize? Well, first he realized that his father's way was the best way. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" He was saying, had I listened to my father, had I done and followed his way of life, I would be fine. My stomach would be full. I would have found satisfaction. He realized he had wasted his life, and he was suffering as a result of it. That was the reason his stomach was empty. That was the reason his friends had left him. That was the reason that he was in a desperate situation where he could do nothing for himself. It was him to blame. It was a harsh thing that he had to realize. And sometimes I think we don't like to look at our problems and realize that they come from us. But friends, very often they do. And it is only with a humble and honest reflection like this man had that we will truly realize that. He also realized something very interesting in verse 18. Look what he said. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This man realized that, yes, he had wronged his father. Yes, he had done wrong to many people in life. But above all, he realized he hadn't just sinned against them. He had sinned against heaven. That's the reality with us. Many things we do here on earth upset others. We sin against others. We fool them. We perhaps extort them. We use them in ways that we shouldn't. But when we do those things, yes, we wrong them. But above all, we wrong God. We wrong our Father in heaven. And we land ourselves under the condemnation of God with guilt written on our account. This man realized that he was guilty and condemned, and he admitted it to himself. He said this is the case in his mind. He was realistic. He woke up and he understood his situation. Have we done the same? This man said he thought he would go to his father and tell him that he was unworthy. He couldn't save himself. He had nothing that he could bring. He was unworthy. But let him go anyway. Well, the next thing we see is that he took action. Many people, I think, it's like they finish reading this parable at that verse there, where he's just thinking about things, in verse 19. They think about what they need to do. They think, I need to go to God. God is the one who can save me. Perhaps some people even go so far as to rehearse the words in their head that they would go to and bring to God, just like this man did. They think about how they would approach God. But this man didn't stop at thinking about it. What did he do next? Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. Friends, does your profession of faith match your actions? Many people say with their lips they believe in Jesus. They go to church. They worship. Maybe in some way they pray. But really you look at their lives, and their lives are very far away from what God would have them to be. Have you taken action? Does your life and the things people see of you, even what you do in private, when those who are at church are not watching you, does it match a life that follows Jesus? If it doesn't, friends, then perhaps it's time to consider as well and think about how you need to go beyond thinking about God and actually go to him and seek him. Well, how did this man go to his father? First, he went with confession. He went to his father. And we read that he says this in verse 21 to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am not worthy to be called your son. And that, friends, is the starting place for how we must come to God. We must come to him and confess before him that we are sinners, that we have wronged him, that we do have broken lives because of the way that we have lived. We confess that we have broken his law, that we have lived according to the desires of our hearts rather than according to his ways. And as we confess, what will the Lord do? He will not reject you. He will not reject you. What happened? What happened with this father when he saw his son coming? Look at what happened. Verse 20. And while he was still a great way off, his father saw him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father of this man, when he saw him coming, confessing his sins, telling him and admitting how he was indeed unworthy, he didn't reject him. He didn't reject him. Quite the opposite. He ran out of his home and came and found the son and embraced him in love and listened to all that he had to say. But this son, we see he also repented. It wasn't just that he cried out. He actually came and changed the way he was heading. I think when he was in that far off land, his stomach was empty. He must have felt very weak. And there was a long journey to go to his father. But he did it. He made a conscious effort, as his mind was changed, to get up, to go against anything that stood in his way. And he went. His life was switched around to now go towards his father rather than towards his way and his own intentions for life. We need to do what this man did. We need to go to the very one we have sinned against. Confess our sin before him and ask him to freely receive us. Well, friends, the Father received him and gave him a fresh start, didn't he? Really, he was received not just in a reluctant way, as many people here on earth are received, but he was received with joy and with happiness. They threw a party because he returned. Look at the transformation that was received. This man who was previously dressed in rags was now given the best robe to wear. This man who was previously eating the pig food was now given the best, finest meat to eat. Wow, what a transformation. I think he could have hardly been recognised. He was also given a ring on his finger. Now I have a ring here. What does it symbolise? It symbolises the love between my wife and I that will never end, just like the ring. And that is the love of God towards you. Jesus is the one, we read at the top of the chapter, who receives sinners and eats with them. Just as he received sinners back all those years ago, he's the same Jesus now. He still receives sinners. He still waits to listen to your prayer. He still longs to receive you back, and he will gladly do so. Truly, this man was hardly recognizable, I think. And the scriptures tell us that in Christ there will be a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things are made new. That's what will happen, friends. You will receive truly a new life in him. We are born into this old life of problems, of brokenness, of sin. But do you know that we can be born again into a new life? That's what being born again means, friends. You've been born of the flesh into this fleshly, carnal world. But now you can be born again in the Spirit by a divine work of God in your heart that will transform every aspect of you and make you almost unrecognizable to others, just as this man. Is that what you desire? That's what we're looking at in this conference. How can we put the old behind and have a new life? You must be born again. Well, friends, how can this be? How could this happen, that he was received back in such a joyful way? The Father came and he hugged him and he kissed him. These were signs of affection, the deepest affection, the deepest love. How many people truly hug us or kiss us here on earth out of genuine love? This is the love of God. It's a sacrificial love that looks over what you have done in the past if you will only believe in him. Well, there is a reason why God can forgive us. There is a reason why we can have a new life in him. You see, God has done something for us. He has, as it were, sent his Son out of that house to come and meet us here on earth in our condition. And to show you what that is, I want to tell you, in closing, a story. I wonder if any of you have ever heard of Stephen Lungu. Stephen Lungu. Now, Stephen Lungu was a Zimbabwean. He was born in Harare, there in Zimbabwe, some years back. And this man had the darkest, most terrible, most broken life you can possibly imagine. He had been rejected by his parents. He was an orphan. He was homeless. He slept under a bridge. He became addicted to drugs and to alcohol. More than that, he even got pulled into a gang called the Black Shadows there in Harare. They were a fearsome gang who killed many people and made it their mission to destroy the religion of the white man, as they saw it, to destroy Christianity. And Stephen grew to be one of the most senior people in that gang. And one day, he went with petrol bombs and weapons to a crusade. There was a Christian meeting, perhaps not unlike this one, where they were meeting to learn of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went with his friends, waiting to bomb. But while they were waiting for that set agreed time, when they would first bomb and destroy that place, Stephen heard the preacher telling of something. He was preaching from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. You can turn there with me if you have a Bible. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And we read this there. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Stephen, as he heard this, realized that God was not some far off mystical person who we can never understand. For God had sent his Son by grace, by undeserved favour, into this world. Jesus had come and lived in many ways the most broken life of us all. He suffered beyond what Stephen did, and I'm very sure that he suffered beyond what any of us have done. He suffered poverty. He suffered with pain, with sickness. He entered into that curse that we have brought upon ourselves by our sin. He experienced every aspect of it. And even he went to the lengths of that ultimate punishment, the cross, death. And as Christ hung on that cross, he was in our place. He was in our place in this world where we live. But he was standing in the position of us as sinners. It was him instead of us who suffered the penalty for sins, such that we can be received in him through his grace and through his love. As Stephen heard this, bombs started going off. His friends had got impatient. They had started bombing the crusade, but Stephen didn't notice. Instead, he came and he knelt down before the Lord God and he poured out his heart in confession and begged for the forgiveness and the new life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, was he received? Though he had such a broken, offensive life, the Lord received him and met him there. He came to seek and save that precious soul and transformed his life. Whereas he used to want to destroy the work of God, now he wanted to serve God. Whereas before he saw God as an enemy, as somebody who wasn't in his favour, now he understood that life, God's way, was the best way. Stephen was born again. He became a preacher. He became a minister. And many, many souls were brought to the Saviour by him. You can have that radical change of life, friends. Scriptures tell us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever comes to the Father will not be cast out. Will you come to him? We can start over. We can put away the old life. We can put the sin and the dirt and the shame and the brokenness behind us. We can be born again into a new life. We praise the Lord for that. And then will it not be said of us what this Father said of his Son back in Luke chapter 15 and verse 24? This my Son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You will receive the blessings of God, the ring on your finger, being brought into his family, the precious Holy Spirit as your comforter, the promises of God that perhaps right now you plead but find to be empty. They will become true for you. He will be by your side. He will comfort you. He will provide your needs. He will help you to purge out those old things, and he will give you a new life. We pray that every one of us can be those who are dead but are now alive again, were lost but are now found. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for these truths that are in your word. We thank you, Father, that though we are so far from you, you bring us back to yourself. Lord, we confess before you that we are sinners, that we are unworthy to be received by you. We have lived lives where we are not interested in pleasing you, only in taking the things that you give us. But Lord, wake us up, we pray. Help us to realize the position we are in. And may we each go to you in personal prayer, confession, and repentance, and find that we are freely received because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.